Welcome back to Brass Stacks. Go back straight to the phone lines. Good afternoon. Good morning, sorry.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I want to consolidate the call made by the gentleman just now about Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to make Mr. Johnson cut into the program as to confirm what I'm going to say here. I've been relentlessly calling for the further position to be placed as regarding Cassius Clay. I've said back then, now I've got something jotted here since 2011, but it's only one of them. I've been long before that. And I must thank Dr. Eastman for coming and putting the position and helping in regard to the further recognition of Cassius Clay. Let me hear something to say. I've said, we were just talking something about young people there in the initial party program. When you get persons that are young, aspiring minds, and you can get anybody that can come and do one more discipline than Cassius Clay, I'm saying start a competition. You can put it $100,000, whatever first prize. And anybody that can do one more discipline other than Cassius Clay will have the prize. But until they can do that, I will give it to Cassius Clay every time around until somebody. You know what that does? That make people start to aspire to reach the head of Cassius Clay and surpass him. So it's an avenue of making persons gravitate to the arts, the you name it. So I am saying that should have long been had. And I've been calling for the Cassius Clay situation for so long that I am thankful, as I have said, that Dr. Eastman and the gentleman just know. But I want to consolidate and saying it is long in waiting. This competition could be had. We have our 50th anniversary, independence, I think. You could have had a competition like that. You know the monk and the myriad of things that Cassius Clay can do? They were highlighted in the paper the other day. You could imagine somebody put a pancard in their mouth and balance it. Put somebody on a ladder and balance it. Eat fire, beat you in the ring, boxing, roller skate. Sing. This is just off the top of my head. And you want to say you cannot recognize that some great advantage, somebody like this in and among us, that you can raise a competition in their honor civil art?
Let me ask you a question. Sorry to cross you, but let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that the average young person today particularly cares anything about people like Cassius Clay or some other, like a Richard Stout? Or you think people really care about these people in terms of seeing them as role models? Do you think so? I'm really asking the question.
No, but it's unfortunate if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
That says to us that our sense of evaluating and value has diminished to such a low. How you can't regard some? I understand what you're asking, but and embracing persons like Richard Stone and Cassius Clay among them. Who, you understand the point I'm making?
I understand what you're asking. That's why I ask it, because I often wonder when people look at, like Cassius, like Richard Stout and a few others. I mentioned Justin Clark and I can come to others who've done work Blackie. In the community.
Yeah.
I wonder what they see when they look at these individuals. You know, I often, because, you know, people talk about the singers, the people who have made it. And it's usually singers, performers. But the fact about the matter is that somebody had to discover you, one.
Right.
Somebody had to nurture you through that period as well to help you to learn your craft, whatever that may be. And somebody would have put you in contact with, forces outside of the United States. Outside of the Barbados, who would be able to train you and take you to the level that you that they would have achieved. And it just seems that, in my view, based on what I've seen, that people do not seem to regard a lot of these homegrown coaches or role models. It seems that people don't really regard them as I think that they should. But that's just my opinion. I don't understand.
But
that's the impression I certainly get.
But you're finished?
Yeah, you go ahead, sir.
But my take is, when you really stop and look at the kind of discipline that it would take for Cassius to achieve the height that he has achieved, it is not. Look, I'm saying.
But he's just, the point is, I know that you're talking about Cassius Clay, but the point I'm trying to make is that he's just one individual, you know. But there are several other individuals in this community, in different sectors, who have done a lot and have trained and have helped to push a lot of people, and have been inspirations. And so, I mean, we're talking about him, yes, but he is just one of.
I understand.
It is sad that we don't acknowledge these people in the way that we should. But anyhow, go on to make your next point.
I'm going to close on Cassius Clay because I want to just give you a quick touch on the NSRL. Look, I'm saying if you're not too late, start that competition. I am saying that a person will try to gravitate to see what I can see if it can better him.
Mm-hmm.
It is likely that you can get somebody or persons that will come up and you see them as they try to rise, mm-hmm. and you got somebody that will carry on. I am saying it can happen.
Okay.
You only have to make it more interesting and it can happen.
Okay, so your second point,
the NSRL.
Mm-hmm.
Sir?
Your second point.
The NSRL. I am still not satisfied with the kind of responses that I'm getting as the call made. I've made a call that I want the experts to come in and bring crystal clear to persons about what is the NSRL, how it was, how it should be structured, if you would have to revert back to it as an avenue of taxation, etc. I am still calling for that call because I am somewhat concerned that you're going to have to revert back to that as one.
Where do you think you have to revert to it?
Because I understand it was a very good tax. I understand it was
who
only
said
query
it was a very
or
good,
question.
Who said it was a very good tax?
The person that I've spoken to that I think would have some good semblance of expertise in this area.
Sir, the tax was imposed back when it was imposed.
Yeah.
There's no economist that or business person who said that it was a positive move. Everyone said, all of those people were saying, hey, this is going to impact negatively on the economy. Only body who was pushing it was it was part of government policy, and I could understand why, because they were getting the money up front, and nobody could really evade that.
Just that little part.
But
that
it
money
was.
Up front.
But the problem is, it was really causing a drag on everything, and increasing the cost as well. So, but anyhow, you made your call, and let's see if you can get that done. All right.
Thanks for your efforts.
Okay, my sir. Take good care. This person on the WhatsApp is saying, good morning. With the attitude of some parents, would it not be wise to teach parenting from preschool to college? And they were commenting on why we have the problems that we do have today with the school children behaving the way they are. Another person here is saying, the main reason we are here today is because we have taken away the one thing that kept children on the straight and narrow. When we tell principals and teachers not to discipline children the old-fashioned way, cut their tails. Switching their backsides when they do wrong from early goes a long way. I did not say abuse them. We mix up discipline with abuse, and principals and teachers don't normally abuse children, and we can deal with that if it ever happens. I know things are different today, but disciplining children should be constant. We will need to build a bigger prison soon if we don't change the way we do things and ignore those persons who, because they have a degree, think they have it all but lack wisdom. And those are some ideas from the people on the WhatsApp as to why the behavior we are seeing today is existing. We go back to phone lines. Good morning, you're on the air. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Sanka.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is Glenn Murray.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you doing?
I'm all right.
First of all, I'd like to remind your last caller who is trumpeting the virtues of the NSRL that it was a failure. It failed to come anywhere near the revenue it was intended to generate, and therefore, to all intents and purposes, it served no good. But like you said, it made the economy more anemic and less productive, and therefore we were no better off because of the NSRL. So I think you could forget about that one for now or for a long time to come. You had made some, give some commendations to the Ministry of Transport and Works about the work it does with the roads, etc., and the painting of the sidewalks and the crossing, etc. I'd also like to commend them on another matter for having the good sense to withdraw what they consider an unnecessary irritant, that requirement that people who need to register a vehicle or to renew their driver's license to have a second source of address, second proven address, when the license itself contains your address. I feel that is something that, because part of the reason is that getting work done in that part of the MBW is a hassle. Nobody likes to go up there to put it with all the delays and confusion and long lines, etc. So to impose that on another place just to add to a layer of confusion and botheration, like you said, and things like that. I don't understand, having worked in government, I don't understand how it got out in the first place. I think it's something that should have been, people have to anticipate the impact of these on people's lives and the context, and not just do them because they think they have a bright idea, or as I have been told, that it was intended to assist the police in their duties. So I'm glad to see the end of that. The other thing is that you remember about two or three Sundays ago we spoke about crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you had the Mr. Willoughby, etc.
And Tim Ramsey.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then mentioned the importance of the primary source of socialization being the home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the emphasis should be placed on socializing people at home in the proper way, in the right way, in the productive way. The psychologist with whom you spoke also mentioned that. But she also mentioned the in-group and the out-group.
Yeah.
The in-group and the out-group. Now, when she spoke, you were speaking about psychology. When you speak of the in-group and the out-group, you're into the area of social psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Now, psychology is the scientific study of human behavior, the individual, etc. Social psychology is the individual operating in a group. That's where the social psychology comes in. So, in my view, the problem, this phenomenon of fighting with school children, let me say how embarrassed I was to see a Colmere uniform featuring on yesterday. Right?
Yeah, man.
I'm not happy to admit that, but that's part of the problem again. But
you know, it's every school. I would cross you, Glenn, here by saying, unfortunately, we have seen the uniforms of just about every school in Barbados over the last couple of years. So it seems that this thing is pervasive.
That gives me no comfort. And that makes the point. That's underlying the point, I mean.
Precisely.
When you eventually get to that age, the most important influence are their peers.
Mm-hmm.
To be accepted, be acknowledged, you're influenced by their behavior, who is cool, who seems to be the leader, who is like the psychiatrist, who is popular. And children, if they are not well grounded, will tend to follow the path of least resistance and do the things that they think make people popular. So this phenomenon is a widespread phenomenon because we have to there consider what are the sources of influence for these children. You mentioned Richard Stout and Cassius Clare, who I think are fine gentlemen who've done outstanding work. But unfortunately, they will be considered by the current generation as old.
Yep.
They can't relate to them. They don't identify with them. The people they identify with are YouTube people, the people with the videos, and the current technology that is their main source of information and one of their primary influences, right? And we are back in the 60s, an artist called Andy Warhol. I believe you might have heard of Andy Warhol.
Yeah, of course.
He predicted that sooner or later, every person will want to have their own 15 minutes of fame. Now, it is known that, you're a man in the media, you know, it is known that when people see television cameras, they perform, they will perform for the camera because they want to get on TV and make an impression on TV. The same thing happened with cell phones. People perform for cell phones, and the cell phone is a means of communicating that behavior, which they now consider to be in behavior, and can make them more acceptable what they consider to be in crowd. And the in crowds are usually people who subscribe to culture. In other words, values and behaviors that don't conform to the mainstream culture, conferential behavior, large scale society, and that's the attraction for them. That if that is their primary force, therefore they have to be able to get a way to counter the culture, we conquer culture. So they don't believe in the sanctity of life. For example, when you see these brutal shootings, that is because they come from a different mindset, a different belief pattern, a different subculture, a conquer culture, which is counter to the mainstream culture, who have no regard for sanctity of life, and therefore they feel they can shoot people willy-nilly for whatever reasons, because life doesn't count, and they have a different perspective in it altogether. So I think that we have to see it in a very broad, and therefore look for other areas of source of influence along with the home, the churches try to do their best. And I think that one of the primary sources of influence for a lot of young people, I think, is the block, whether directly or indirectly. In our day, every neighborhood virtually had a youth group of some kind, a grouping of some kind for football or games or debates or whatever. To me, that no longer exists in the heart of communities. And these are communities that even were very deprived in our younger days. But there was that phenomenon, there was that institution that existed that brought people together. They had, debated, played games, followed the path of correctness. And therefore, it was seen in people, not that we are perfect, but in we were nowhere near what you were saying nowadays. So I think we have to take those factors in consideration and look at what we're going to do about the blocks.
Mm-hmm.
The blocks are very much a part of our life.
Yeah.
Imported out of North America, I might remind you.
Mm-hmm.
Even the term block is a North American ghetto term.
Yeah.
Right? And so we have imitated that behavior. And that behavior has been imitated, like the reign of the
colors.
Boxes down on your knees, etc.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. All that has been imitated through videos, they say in the rap video, they say in movies, the cussing, the bad words, all that's supposed to be how you live. And therefore, until we can begin to conquer that by whatever means necessary, we are just going to be repeating this kind of behavior over and over again.
So, Glenn, we have a lot of work to do in this country. All right, Glenn, thank you very much for your input. Very, very good information. We have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks.
Good morning.
You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm always good.
I'm calling here about these children, these school children, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hurts my feeling every day I hear about these children, because I have children and I have grandchildren who go to school. I would like to know, they have Queen's College, right?
Yeah.
Right. They have Queen's College, they have this school here in Belvin down behind Government House. You know what I mean, sir?
You mean Springer Memorial?
No, behind Government House.
St. Winifred's.
St. Winifred, right? You have the convent.
Uh-huh.
I would like to know, when have you seen in the paper and so forth with these school children, why you do not see those kind of children in those kind of violence and things?
You tell me.
St. Winifred's, Queen's College. Why you don't see that?
Why do you think you don't see that?
Because they're not different to the U.S. As a human being. They're not different to the U.S. and a human being. But I see it well to myself that they just think different. Because when you see these kind of things with children fighting, you find majority of colored children in it. All colored children, those are the schools. And you don't see St. Winifred's or the convent or nothing so in it. Why?
Are you suggesting that, I want to understand you clearly. Are you suggesting that it's primarily just black children who are involved with this?
No, I am not suggesting. But why?
But you said you don't see colored children. So I just want to make sure that's what the point that you're making.
Every time something happens like that, you see one set of children. One set of children. And they tell you, you don't see Queen's College, you don't see St. Winifred's uniform, and then you don't see that. You see, Ellis children,
since you brought it up, obviously you're thinking along that line. So why do you think one does not see like the other schools that you mentioned?
Well, as I say, I see to myself the house. You know, they think different.
And that why would you think that feeling. They think differently?
They think differently, right?
Yeah, so why do you think that they think differently?
You know, but I feel they think different by the school. You know, them is real.
But don't you think that every school in Barbados is trying to tell the children to that they should be good law-abiding citizens, they should not be violent and should not behave in an untoward manner to other students?
I feel so. I feel like the convent and then schools or they speak to the children and telling them what the situation is.
So you know? what about parental guidance? What about the parents in this whole aspect?
They got some parents. I sorry to say it, but they got some parents don't really think about the children with that. Let's send it to school and so forth. And I think, but you know, this has hurt my feelings. It has hurt me day after day because I have grandchildren going to school. I have big children now, but my grandchildren is going to school, and it has really hurt my feeling to see that. Now that little boy yesterday that gets stabbed, he could be dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it is only once, as they say, it's only see once at the children. You understand what I mean? That is what I'm speaking about.
But tell me something, your grandchildren, yes. Sorry to get personal, but your grandchildren, do they go to school at one of the schools you mentioned?
No.
Good. And they're not involved with this type of behavior, are they?
No.
So why do you think that despite the fact they're not going to school at one of those schools that you don't see, the children from those schools that you don't see get involved in these things,
that they
are still on the straight and narrow?
My grandchildren, no, they're not that. They're small children, okay? They're big children, okay? Mm-hmm. They're small kids. They're just going to primary school and so forth, okay. Right? But as I say, it really hurt my feeling when I hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, when I hear that yesterday, as I say, that little boy could be dead. He could have died. You understand, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see these different schools.
You don't, sir, honestly, I really can't agree with you. Okay, let me put it another way.
Yeah.
There are a number of schools that have been, the children from a number of schools have been figuring prominently in these acts. That is true. But at the same time, I don't think that one can label anything against the school. It has to do with the person who goes to that school. And it has a lot to do with the environment that person comes from that influences them to behave in this manner. I think all schools in Barbados strive to produce to socialize their pupils in such a way that they can become good citizens. So that it is unfortunate that you would even take it from that angle, but I understand why you've taken it. I've heard what you said before from somebody else, and but what it just bear with me. How old are you?
I'm 81.
Okay, right.
But what I'm saying.
Let me just explain to you why I asked that, because the person who I also heard that from was in their 80s. So that's why I figured that you would be around that age group to ask that question. Anyhow, go ahead.
But why? I know to myself that they have some very good children. People come out of those schools too, right? Very, very good. But some, I just don't understand. When it was a boy going to school, you never hear nothing. So, you know, if you and a guy have a little quarrel, you may fire a rock at him, and, you know, and you hit him and take, you know. And then the next day when you go back to school, the two of them are back together. But no, nowadays, you don't go in for that. Look what I hear there, or I hear they pull this boy out the bus or the van, and about 10 or 12 of them beat him. You understand what I mean?
I saw pieces of the video, and it was really terrible.
Yeah, and when they look at the children, I just see a little white guy in it. Not a little white guy in it. I just see nothing so. All I see is my color.
Okay.
I just see a little white child in it, beating them, or nothing so. All I see is my color. You understand?
Right,
and then, so. Next thing I have is really
you're going to be real quick, sir.
You see that there with Cassius Clare and Richard Stout?
Yes.
I see Cassius Clare should get served. And Richard Stokes will get served. I believe it.
Okay.
They do a lot, especially Cassius Clare.
All right, sir.
They do a lot, and I felt that the two of them should be in place to become sir. That is my opinion, sir.
All right, thank you very much, and have a great day. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Just want to read a WhatsApp to you here. I think it's pretty interesting. This person is suggesting that the whole idea of, in fact, let me just read it. Are we seriously asking why young people in Barbados today do not see Cassius Clare and Richard Stout and people of that age group as role models? I'm near 40 and I barely know who they are. And this is why they fight and kick down one another. Barbados has stopped producing everything. Ideas, role models, everything. When a person feels hopeless, anything will fill the void. And here we are. The greatest idea we have is beat them. That's just another perspective. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Mark.
Well, at least I'm in at this point because I'm hearing a very interesting discussion, and I think I should be able to have an input into it. Yes, I must say that people know of Cassius, of his exploits as far as entertainment is concerned. But he's one of the nicest persons you could ever deal with as a person. I can say the same thing for Richard Stout. The reason I'm saying this, Mr. Price, is because when you know people, you can at least support any call for any recommendations. Now, I can say I knew Richard, was involved in Richard as far back as 1957, 58. I can say that Cassius started with me at the El Dorado, Coney Island, and I've back in the 70s. I'm saying these things that somewhere along the line, that it gives me great feeling to understand that here is a man who came from a very, very low position in this country, similar to Jackie Opel. And if I should look at the West Indies cricket team, female cricket team, I would have to say that the determination of Mr. Yearwood can be one of the responsibilities of the women cricket team of the Caribbean excelling at the level it has. If I look at the skating event, ice hockey, then I would have to look at Mr. Yearwood, who introduced those things. But you see, this society have a way of at least asking that these things be granted, but not really progressing towards having. Richard has a silver star. Cassius have a silver star, and I think somewhere along the line they have been acknowledged at some point in terms of recognition. But let's understand what the contribution that these people have made. Let's understand where it all started. Years and years and years of being involved. Years and years of sacrifice. Years and years of taking the talent, making the talent be seen. But behind the scene, these people are natural people as far as life is concerned. Why are you saying this? I heard someone call just Glenn Murray. I have to give people like Glenn Murray some credit for being one of those persons in the background as far as my movement in life is concerned. There are other people that I can say that, you know, when I look at Al Jilks, Al Jilks got the silver star. All of these people in my lifetime have had something, some contribution to make to their life. But unfortunately, this is not a cry, this is not a harp, this is a situation here that I am proud. I am proud to think that Barbadians, and when somebody can say that young people don't know anything about Cassius or don't know anything about Richard, Cassius have done the most free shows this country have ever produced. Cassius have went the length and breadth of this country doing free shows, carrying his entertainment package to almost every school across the country out of his pocket. Richard has been responsible for bringing young talent, unearthing young talent, and putting young talent in the forefront that becomes natural in Barbastro from the Richard Stout team talent. But it has to start at some point. And you said that earlier, that there had to be some point of start. Did you say that, Mr. Price?
I certainly did.
Right. At some point, it had to start. Somebody was responsible. Somebody was instrumental. And I take time out to say thanks to people like Glenn Murray. Thanks to people like Harold Hoyt. Thanks to those persons who, in truth and fact, somewhere along the line realized, well, look, you can't fly the kite the way you want to fly it. This is the way to fly it. And because you learn how to fly the kite, then somewhere along the line, credit must be given. Barbados is a very strange society. Barbados is a very strange society because, yes, I was rewarded. When people called me, just as what I said, I was rewarded when I could. There are 250,000 people in Barbados. And when I could be considered as one of the 30 people to be represented a constituency and to be seen as a voice for an area, then I have been rewarded. And I have been rewarded by my own people. So those persons who feel that I have not been rewarded, get it straight. I have been rewarded. I am blessed. I am blessed. Now, as far as the arts are concerned in Barbados, people know that the arts and people in Barbados are not really given credit. I can name a whole set of people that have gone on, that have been completely overlooked. Alfred Pagnell, Frank Pardo, Daphne Hackett, a whole set of people in this country that. So it isn't that Richard, the young people don't know anything about Richard or they know anything about Cassis, is that as far as the arts of this country is concerned, there's been a total neglect, forgotten area. So I think until we understand that these people over a period of time, and I'm going to comment on that, these people over time have made a substantial contribution to Barbados in whatever field that they've endeavored in, and somewhere along the line that because the knowledge has not been passed on, just the last call and the email that you have read, that people have forgotten in the passage, names of people that have made a contribution to this country have been forgotten.
What would you suggest that can be done to raise the awareness of some of the persons who would have done us proud in those early years and whose legacy should be remembered because of the positive nature of it?